fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of his Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of his Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Well, good morning and welcome to Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio today. On Tuesday, July 30th, we laid Reverend Barry Arnold, pastor of Lebanon God's Missionary Church from 1977 to 2012, to rest. As a church family, we grieve his passing, but we rejoice in knowing that he is in the presence of his Jesus. Pastor Arnold is used by God to preach the gospel to countless people throughout Lebanon, and if you had the opportunity to meet him, you knew that he loved God and loved the people that God had called him to minister. This morning, in his memory, we're going to share the second part of Pastor Arnold's farewell message given as he was retiring from the Lebanon God's Missionary Church in September of 2012.
Fall of 1979, we began a telephone ministry to reach into the lives of boys and girls in our community. Uncle Charlie was over at Lancaster Children's Bible Hour. We went over there. They told about this ministry. We came back and said, let's do it, and we began to do it. And we did it to the point where sometimes we were getting hundreds of calls in one day. You say, did it bring any results? Harlan Sell, a good friend of mine, pastors of Plain Mennonite Church down here at Myerstown, went to the revival meeting one night, sat down. Brother Sell called on me to pray. After the service was over, a young Mennonite lady turned around and asked, are you Uncle Barry? I said, yes. She said, when I was 10 years old, she said, I listened to your dial a story. And she said, God spoke to my heart and I got saved. That's just one incident of the fruit, and I could just go on and tell you about incidents. A little boy called in. We had a helpline, and a little boy called in and said, you go to Sunday school? No. Where do you live? And we began to pick up him and his brother, and then some of the other family brought their children, and then it wasn't long until their grandpa was facing death, and Brother Leonard shared with him and prayed with him, and he got saved, and others in that family got saved. Telephone ministry. When we came, we had a van and we began picking up children, 1977. Actually, we weren't here long until, what was that sister's name? Her and her husband went around evangelistic work. She was here to have the vacation Bible school. Help me. Sister Meadows. That wasn't her name, you know, earlier on, so that's out of time. Meadows. And Sister Meadows was here. We just came, and it was time to have vacation Bible school. So what do? You got to have boys and girls. So I began to go out there in the community and get around, and I found some kids that would come to Sunday school, and that was the beginning of outreach ministry. We began to bring children in and did that for a number of years until, of course, we began with the buses. And it was really bus ministry that set us into motion as far as growth is concerned. And then out of that, of course, several of us, we've celebrated 25 years now of bus conventions in various parts of the country. And in those early days, in those 80s, 85, when we put the bus on, Brother Rob and I, Leonard Rob and I, we beat the streets, didn't we? We beat them weekly. We beat them in all kinds of weather. And God opened up many doors to us. And I've had some real experiences. Can you give me just a little more time than I would have normally? I was watching that clock, listening to these other fellows talk and go on and songs and everything. I thought, how am I ever going to get anything said here this morning? But I forgive all the rest of you, you know. If you will forgive me now for going a little longer, okay? Yeah, I'll look at the Spanish clock. What I'll do. Yeah, okay. But we got into VBS and we had this bus. And those of you remember Lester Banich, you know, he shook worse than I do. I say, you know, and he shook. And we were downtown. We went down to get some boys and girls. And here was Lester Banich, up in years, shaky old man, driving a bus. And I was on, we had 50 downtown kids on that bus. Now, if you want an experience of a lifetime, you should have been there. I made sure it was different the next day. And those are some of the things you enjoy. And when we began that bus, I said, we're getting some children. We got about 19, 20, you know, we're getting. I said, we ought to set a goal. Maybe we could set a goal that by Christmas, we could have 50. Well, we get into the vacation Bible school, and the Sunday morning of that vacation Bible school, we had 40-some. So we almost reached our goal. Well, the truth of the matter is that God blessed us until he opened doors and somebody in the church bought us another bus, and we had two buses, and on Christmas Sunday we had 104 children. And I know that it wasn't popular, bus ministries, and some folks said and thought that's just for the Baptists and it's not for holiness people. And not everybody was really gung-ho about it, but I remember this one Sunday morning, and some of you will remember it. We brought these children in the side door up there in the church. We filled up the platform. You remember there's a little fellow on crutches, and what was his name, Brother Leonard? His mother passed away. She was a sister to Clara. Elliot. He was on crutches, poor little boy, and he quoted the 23rd Psalm, and those kids sang and gave that presentation, and as they walked out the door, it was just like a pandemonium. I mean, the glory of God came down in the church, and people were blessed, and people were shouting and praising God. It was just like God was saying, this is what I want you to do. That was an unusual morning. And there and then, I believe in a special way, God put his seal on the outreach ministry. Now 27 years have gone by, and there are people like Grace Harmon and Pearl Bruno and many others that I expect to see in heaven who came in through outreach ministry and were saved. Sandy DeHart said to me last night, we wouldn't be saved. Here's George and Sandy. And then their mom and dad prayed with her mom, and she went to heaven. And her dad was here this one Sunday. He's 94 now, but he was sitting back here, and they went to some kind of a formal church, and not much about salvation. But I'll never forget the morning. He was past 80 and sitting back on this side, maybe the back seat or next one, and I seen him walk down the aisle and near this altar. He got saved. Has lived for God these years. And Sandy said, I never saw my daddy in all those years read the Bible. And now he's reading the Bible every day. Do you believe in what we're doing? I believe in what we're doing. I believe in what we're doing. Gospel Center 2000 came into our lives. Jail ministry 10 years ago. All of this has involved a lot of miles and a lot of hours, a lot of tears, a lot of sweat. Weary bodies and tired brains. But I want to tell you this morning, I have no regrets. No regrets. No regrets. It's worth it all. I'd do it all over again. And it's not a one-man team. It's not a one-man team. You and you and you and you and you and you became part of this team, and we've worked together. You say, don't you always? No. I often go out on bus routes on Saturday. They need to be visited every week. I often go out with, but I can be off preaching somewhere, doing something. I do, they work. The bus routes are busy. The buses will run. And we all work together. Now, you know, we have buildings that we didn't have. We have land that we didn't have. God has blessed us with all these nice buildings. They're not fancy, but they're nice. We have land. We have 30-some acres of land. All we had was a little piece on top of the hill. We have buildings. We have land. We have vehicles. We have nice facilities. And we need all of these. And I believe God has raised up certain people, which I believe that He would, to finance these people with skills and finances. I think of how Steve Meese came in, and we've got a sign up here, and God showed him that sign in a dream he had, and God said, "That's where I want you to go to church," and he started coming to the church, and I guess he's sitting here somewhere now, and he's been coming ever since. And what a skilled man in building. He's as skinny as a rail, but he takes those great big blocks and just sit him up there. I've watched these. God, yes. We need these things, buildings and land and vehicles and nice facilities. And God has raised up people and finances and skills. But I want to tell you this morning, it's not about buildings and land and vehicles and nice facilities. It's about people. It's about souls. It's about eternity. And unless we keep the passion and the fire and the vision, this facility and this ground will become a ghost town. And God forbid it. God forbid it. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Prayer meetings have been a great part of the ministry here. Sunday mornings, sometimes Sunday nights, sometimes Saturday nights. Recently, when some things showed up and when we had this diagnosis with cancer and a number of things were happening Saturday afternoon. This is just a few weeks ago. A prayer meeting was called for, and folks came, and there was 20-some people showed up for that prayer meeting that hadn't even been announced ahead. Spend time in prayer, and we're grateful for that. Someone, I suppose, has the question, why you been here so long? Well, we came here to pastor. The first pastor was 4 years. The next one was 9 years, and I don't know how long the next one will be. Did you plan to stay 35 years? No, not really. I didn't know how long we would be here. Didn't know. But I never lost the passion or the burden for Lebanon, Lebanon County. I felt just as much as anybody that's called to Africa or called to Belize that this was our mission field. This is where I remember sitting in a school of the prophets at GBS, God's Bible School in Cincinnati. And you know, I have a lot of friends, and they're pastoring here, and they were pastoring there, in this position, in that position, a lot of things. And I was weighing this thing. Oh, but God, I still have the burden. I still have the call. God's thumb in my back. And that's why we have been here these many years. We talk of success. And I praise God for His blessings. But I'm still looking around here at so many houses and developments that are going up, and I feel like, oh, we've done so little. There's still doors that need to be rapped on. There's still invitations that need to be given. I drive by people's houses, and I think, the people live in that house. Does anybody pray for them? Has anybody invited them to Jesus? God has blessed us with so many new people through the efforts of people of our church in more recent years. That's mostly kept me busy just to work with those who are coming in without going out there and rapping on doors like we did initially. I must close. I would like to say to you, love people. Welcome the visitors. Todd and I went to a church in this town one evening. I don't know if he remembers or not, but how could you forget? Went to this town, this church. It wasn't a large church. It was actually a Christmas Eve service, and Todd and I went in, and the people were kind of talking around. Nobody talked to us, and so we finally asked somebody, it wouldn't matter where we sit. No, you can sit anywhere. We sat down. The service hadn't started, and the people were talking to each other back over the seats, but nobody said boo to us. So the service began, and a nice service, and I listened. You know, I want to hear whether this was online, you know, whether they were fundamental or not, and it appeared that they were, and all of that, you know. Service closed. Nobody said a word. Nobody shook our hand. Nobody smiled. Nobody made eye contact. So we walked out the church and out into the vestibule, and a rather large vestibule for the size of the church. And there was a man, woman out there, and we walked up and we began to talk. Found out they were visitors too. Never did. You know what? Come to think of it, Todd, we haven't been back, have we? To be friendly. It's like, people maybe feel, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I've sent out thousands of thank yous, literally, almost every week, a bunch and sometimes a handful, and special events, maybe as high as 50, you know. Use form letters at one time, but I don't like that. But these little cards, and if you get one, you know, they vary with the seasons, the ones we have used. And just a note to let you know, we're glad that you've been here. And I've had a wonderful secretary to work with. The reason she's such a good girl is because I raised her. At least partly, not really. But anyways, the church we pastored before coming here, her aunt and uncle attended that church, and so she came there with them as a little girl. And then when we came here, her father was gone, and we'd pick up her and her brother, our kids about the same age, and we would go places and do things together and went to the same school, Christian school. And so I appreciate Noreen. And when I have something that I want to see again, I say, Noreen, would you please file this so when I need it, we know where it's at. I'm not any good in the office. And technology just isn't my thing. When somebody talks about a disc, I think of a farm implement sitting out in the field that breaks up the ground. When somebody says text, I think of a verse of scripture that I'm going to preach from. I live in a different day. Some of the highlights of these times, and some of you have contributed toward that. Thank you so very much. Was being able to be in Haiti many times, Papua New Guinea, Ukraine, Cuba a number of times, and Belize a number of times. And these have been great opportunities for adventure as well as ministry. And God willing, Ken and I are planning to go back to Belize this winter. And I want to thank you for being there. Little kids, big kids, college kids, your hugs and your smiles are special. If you're less than 35, you're one of my kids, especially if you've been around here for a while. Don't get excited when these big guys and girls come home from college. I cradled them kids, hugged them, they hugged me, talked with them, worked with them, and now they've got families of their own, but you're all so special. You're all so special. I know in some of your homes, it's not Reverend and Mrs., it's Pappy and Grandma. And Lois and I are grateful for the privilege. We've been to a lot of your graduations. Some of you, we've tried in the last number of years, any of you in college somewhere, Florida, wherever it is, or Virginia, we've tried to come and see you at least one time while you've been there. These are great ties. These are great ties. We're grateful for the transition time. And with each week, I'm more convinced that Brother Walter and his wife have come here for a time such as this. We've worked together in boards, general board and others, and he's been our conference treasurer. And about the only time, though, we ever worked together in services were weddings and funerals. And so we always had a good relationship there. Brother Walter's a kind, considerate man, a man that loves God. He's a people person. He's been preaching us good sermons. They don't just come off the top of his head. You know, when he's in this pulpit, he's studied his lesson. And that's what we grow on, Bible truth, Bible truth. And I know that Sister Walter's a great hostess. I was evangelist at Penn's Creek a few years ago, and she was hostess to the evangelist, whatever, and all the nice things that would come to the room and all the things she thought of, that was really neat. And by the way, I like your homemade bread, too. No hints. So I want to encourage you to keep coming, keep praying. Compliment the ministry. Take them out to eat occasionally. He's here to help you carry your load, to help get your family in, to evangelize the unsaved. And now some of you are asking, what are you going to do? I've got a big lazy boy chair in the corner at home. I've got a swing in the porch. You know, when we bought the farm, that big porch, I thought this would be a great porch to sit on. My, we fixed up, we put new materials in, put a swing on the porch. Guess what? You know, the rest of the story. been very little sitting on that swing. For those, some of you have asked and some of you know, but we plan. This is Sunday. Tuesday night, we begin revival services at Blue Knob, which is near Altoona, Johnstown area. And we begin a revival services. And we'll be in a service each week up until the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So we'll not be in the area. We'll be in revival services each week. And then when the holidays come, Thanksgiving come, then I'm going to rest and take off, and I'll come back to see you, okay, sometime in that area. Thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for your prayers. My great desire is to see the church go on, see people saved, be sanctified, see people take the holy way, fit into God's plan, and walk in the light of His Word, and be ready. We're 35 years closer than we were. And I think as I stand here this morning, I stood here 21 years ago to deliver my first thoughts. Little did I ever think about this day, but here it is. Time is gone. And you're my friends. Anybody's not my friend, would you meet me at the door? I'd like to talk to you. I want to get things fixed up with you so everything's all right. Blessings on you. Let's stand. Now, if you went to some churches, they'd keep you this late every Sunday morning. But this isn't our custom. But thank you for your kindness. Thank you for coming. Now, dear Jesus, you've given us a lot of good years and a lot of good time with the folks here. We know most of the people that are here are either visitors or they've come in during these years. There's not many. Not many left of that original group. But, oh God, you blessed us. You blessed us. We're grateful. We don't take any honor or glory to ourselves or to what humans can do, for we've learned a long time ago it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So if for every blessing received, every fruit produced, every blessing enjoyed, we'll give you all the praise and say that Jesus done it all. Which in your name we pray. Amen.
It's comforting to hear Pastor Arnold's voice and reflect on the good memories of time spent with him over the years. I trust that you could catch a glimpse of his heart for people and love for the Lord that helped him to minister so effectively for so many years. This program is an outreach to the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, today is also the closing day of Penns Creek Camp Meeting, and this evening we'll be lifting our evening service and hope to see you there in Camp Meeting. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
It's been years now since I first met Jesus, and the friendship we've made has been real.
sometimes been rocky. As I travel the valleys and hills, but I wouldn't trade what I feel today for all of her silver and gold. Soon Jesus will call me, and I'll go away to enter that heavenly fold. I'm going to meet you in heaven someday, in a land where we'll never go old. We'll join in the ranks of that heavenly parade and march down the streets of your gold. There'll be no more trouble, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more shedding of tears. For death will be conquered, and Jesus shall reign, and we'll live on for millions of years.
Friends and loved ones have gone on before me, but their memory still lingers so sweet. The battle for them is now over, and their journey has been made complete.
But I'll see them again over yonder someday, Jesus on the beautiful shore. I'm going to meet you in heaven someday, in a land where we'll never go. We'll join in the ranks of that heavenly parade and march down the streets of pure gold. There'll be no more pain, there'll be no more shedding of tears. For death will be conquered, and Jesus shall reign, and we'll live on for millions of years. For death will be conquered, and Jesus shall reign, and we'll live on for millions of years.
Eternal life in the presence of our Savior Jesus Christ is the hope of every believer. I trust that you know Him today. Now for the month of August, I plan to take us back and play a few of the old broadcasts that Pastor Arnold recorded years ago. I trust that you'll join us next time. But for now, may God bless and keep you throughout another week.
Of the one who's gone before us, dare to run in the power of His Spirit. Called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before.